Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And got you sat down and you're going to have to stand again. I forgot it, didn't I? Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 through 10 for a little lengthy scripture reading this morning. But listen to the word of the Lord. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, verse 1, Philippians chapter 2. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Looking at verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, bless your word this morning and anoint your minister. Lord, I pray you touch our vocal cords, touch our mind, and let us think as you'd have us to, and speak as an oracle of God. Anoint every mind, every heart, and every ear to hear and receive your word. Bless every individual this morning in the name of Jesus, and we'll praise you for it all. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to talk to you this morning on spiritual sanity. Spiritual sanity. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad this morning that we don't have to be spiritually insane, but we can have spiritual sanity. Praise the Lord. Now, I hope we can bless you this morning if you'll just listen to us. Is that Brother and Sister Hopper sitting way back there, sneaked in? Glad to see you come in. Lord bless you. We're glad to have you. Praise the Lord. So we appreciate seeing you in the house of God. We'll hear from you later. Today we're living in a world that points everything to the mind. I've never seen the time when pressure is on the mind like it is today. Everything that you see, everything you do is pointing to controlling the mind. Education is pointing to controlling the mind. And we know this is important, but remember, if the wrong power gets your mind under control, it's totally bad as it is totally good when the good things get control of your mind. So we see, as we're looking at this, you get people's mind in one channel, then you see that they get involved in what the other person wants them to get involved, and it becomes very dangerous if we're not careful. So we see advertisement, news media, the government, politics, counselors, everything that we see works on man's mind. Now we know this is a very important thing. We also know that an idle mind is a devil's playground. But we know that there also are people that spiritually sane. Now, insanity does not mean that you have to be vicious. It does not mean that you have to be completely out of control. At times, it seems you're in control. But you're never completely, fully in control. Now, I'm not talking about senile, just growing old, but insanity is something that you completely lose train of thought and sometimes revert way back in other places. But the mind is very important. Now, the mind is that which thinks, feels, and wills as contrasted to the body. The mind is what thinks, feels, and wills, right? The intellect is reasoning power as distinguished from feeling. So the mind is the philosophical and general term for the center of the mental activity. Your mind produces your attitude. Amen? The Bible puts it like this, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can think somebody don't like you, and you'll grow farther from them. You can feel something's wrong, and you'll act as though it's wrong. For the mind tells us, and let me just turn over here to what I was going to bring in later, but a new discovery. Some of you have heard me mention it before, but it'll bear repeating. That doctors H.W. Mangum and G. Morusia, who gave the name, have discovered that there's a little article, part of 1% of your brain, right back in this part, that's about the size of a man's little finger and about 4 inches long, that they call the reticular activator system. And it's the only part that is connected to every part of your brain. Your mind is connected to every part of your brain that produces everything your body does. The mind is a central part of the body that tells the body what to do. It registers pain. It registers joy. It registers peace. It registers happiness. It registers depression. When your body hurts, when it's tired, when it's worn out, your brain registers weariness. And these things all come into the body and then are reacted out of your body as your mind has planted it inside. Now, we're not going to get into conscious and subconscious too much this morning because I want to deal with spiritual sanity. Hallelujah. We are not insane. Now, the mind has three separate duties as the reticular activating system, and the functions are there to take cognizance of your environment as defined to whatever situation you're in, whatever you're doing, wherever you are at any moment of the day. It's to be analytical or to be critical. It's to accept or reject conditions of your environment. And it's to activate thoughts relative to the condition of your environment. Your mind must be trained to project the good or the bad. Your mind must be fed with right or wrong before it produces right or wrong. Your mind will take in what your five senses feed to it. And if you operate by your five senses totally, your mind's going to be confused. Amen? So we see now, you can just hang on and get happier, just sit and listen, and you're not going to anoint me the way you do it, but you can inspire me as you preach with me. Praise the Lord. So we see as that little reticular activating system begins to work, it activates the mechanism of your imaginations. It activates the mechanism of your willpower. And it's a fact that in that biocomputer, if we would recognize it, everything good is programmed in it, same as those things that's bad. But what you see and program it in, it pulls the bad out. You've got good judgment, outgoing personality, self-control, positive attitude, enthusiasm, aggressiveness, decisiveness, discipline, diligence, physical relaxness, patience, resilience, creativity, energy, authority, persistence. All of those things are in that mind as same as those critical negative points are. But if you only look at those through your five senses, you will naturally pull out the bad ones because that's what you see and it registers back. Now, a computer has to have a code to pull it out. And that mind will get a code from something and pull out other bad things. That's why it's not good to watch all the filth on television. That's why it's not good to read filthy magazines. That's why it's not good to listen to filthy stories, because everything that's ever been programmed into your mind while you were in sin, those things will pick it back out. And right then I felt 10 people say, no, 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 after you're saved, all that's taken care of. No, 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 it isn't. Unless you keep a sanctified mind. Backslide and see how quick all the things you used to do doesn't come back. Amen? They're not dead. They're just covered with the blood. They're under the blood of Jesus. And so there's two types of knowledge that we're looking at this morning. And when you study about the two types of knowledge, there's a sense knowledge and there's a revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. The sense knowledge operates by your five senses. That's human. Amen? Feeling, hearing, seeing, smelling, and tasting. If I can't see it, I don't want it. If I can't hear it or feel it or touch it or smell it or taste it, it must not be there. That's the human reasoning. But then there's revelation knowledge that operates by grace through faith. Hallelujah. The sense knowledge deals with the five senses, hearing, tasting, feeling, smelling, and seeing. The natural man works on this sense knowledge. But the revelation knowledge works by grace through faith and is a divine revelation of Jesus Christ or the Word of God. Divine revelation knowledge acts upon the outward part or the eternal part rather than the temporal part. Amen. Spiritual sanity is when we depend upon the revelation knowledge when all else fails. This is spiritual sanity. Spiritual sanity is when you can fit yourself in the programs that looks like might be going down, but you pull them up. We are witness not only by the five senses, but we witness by the things of God or the Word of God. Spiritual insanity is when you can operate only by the five senses and can't take anything by faith or foresee anything or understand anything that you can't touch, hear, feel, smell, or taste. Amen? And a lot of Christians are operating on the fact that if I don't understand it, I can't accept it. Hallelujah. And I'm coming back to that in the conclusion of the message this morning. But he said, verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. Now, I'm going to try to get some things down here to where you may question and you may wonder exactly what I'm talking about, but if you'll pay close attention, I'll try to explain them. This is not a choice, but it's more or less a command. Let this mind, talking to the church, be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, Matthew chapter 18, verse 3 says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, sin pollutes a mind, and sin corrupts a mind. And when man has fallen into sin with Adam, and then when he grows up, his mind has to be renewed. His mind has to be changed. And when it's changed from the carnal mind to the spiritual mind, his total outlook should change. His total life should change. So he said, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. Now, Jesus taught, except you be converted and become as little children. Now, after you're converted, you become as little children, he said. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Become as little children after you're converted. That's your renewed back to where you were supposed to be. Now, I know this is a touchy subject when I get in this part of it right in here. There's a lot of people across the country teaching children go to hell. But the Bible doesn't bear that out. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, be converted and become as little children to enter in the kingdom of heaven. He is telling me here that I believe that these children's minds, until polluted and corrupted by sin around them, they are born with a good mind. They're born, and I've heard people say it, I don't agree with it. And I've got yet for them to show me. I've heard people say, every child is born with a rebellious nature, and they start rebelling from the very moment. Not so. That child is born with an instinct to let somebody know what he needs. And if his needs are supplied, he doesn't come up with that rebellious nature until sin pollutes his mind. Somebody said, well, he's crying. He's rebelling. He's crying because he's wet. He's a crying because he's hungry. He's a crying because he's cold. He's crying because he's got a pain. And that's his only communication, is to cry to let you know something's wrong. He's not rebelling. He's just using the nature that God gave a chicken, and God gave a hog, and God gave a horse, and God gave everything else. If you don't believe it, just watch him a little while. That old hen has got four chickens around our barn out there. She's got different kinds of clucks, and one of them, the chickens know to get gone and hide. And another one, they know to come get under her wings. And another one, they know to come around and eat with her. Now, I can't tell too much difference in that cluck. But they know the sound of it because there's a built-in instinct there. And children know no sin until they reach the age that they know right from wrong. Very early in some of them. It's not 12 years. No set age. Some of them are very early when they know right from wrong. But they're taught by us. They need to be born again. But where there's no law, there's no transgression, the Bible said. So to me, children does go to heaven until they reach the age of accountability and refuse to accept Christ. He said, be converted and become as little children, back to the state of perfection. When I hold a little child in my hand and dedicate them, I always look at as near perfect as you can find in the face of God's green earth anywhere in this world is that little baby that knows no wrong. Amen? So he's telling us to get that type of mind that Christ had. That's the way he thought. Now, let's go a little bit further with the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So being converted and becoming a little child, or as little children, it takes us to do that to enter the kingdom of heaven. Then children must be in their right mind when they're born. And we will stay in our right mind after born again if we stay out of bad attitudes, bad environments, and bad places, and don't get our mind polluted with things of this world. Christ's mind, he said in John 4:34, was to do the will of his Father. If you have the mind of Christ and have spiritual sanity, your mind and your desire is, God, I want to please you. I want to do the will of the Father. I want to follow you. Now, let me show you something. I believe in inside of every man there is a spiritual cry, even to the alcoholic, even to the prostitute, even to the harlot and whoremonger. The boys on death row, down inside of them, Sister Connie, there's something spiritually crying out for that touch of God that God placed in man when he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Now that desire may drive you to a place of alcohol. It may drive you to a place of committing crime. It may drive you, because if you don't find the answer, if you don't find the solution, you're going to keep trying to find what you're looking for. We have the solution. We have the answer. But until somebody presents that to them with love and compassion, they don't know what they're looking for. Still follows you and me today after we're saved. Our spiritual desire and our spiritual longing for what God has many times has turned around and caused us to do things that we would normally do. Amen? Listen to yourself just a moment. How many times have you got up to read the Bible? And you start reading the Bible, you'd get confused, and all of a sudden you'd get confused, yet you was desiring something but didn't know how to get it. You just lay your Bible down and go get something to eat. didn't no more need it in anything. You just happened to maybe look up at the TV and saw something advertised, and you just quit and went and got something to eat. There's a drive inside of human beings that's searching for something to satisfy. But people are not walking in the right mind until they have the mind of Christ. So Jesus said his will was to do the will of the Father, his mind. And in Mark 10:45, Jesus said he came to minister and not to be ministered to. He came to serve and not to be served. People with spiritual sanity is wanting to help somebody. Will I say that again? People with spiritual sanity is wanting to help somebody. There's a drive in a child of God that's filled with the love of God that says, let me tell one more about Jesus. Let me just feed one more hungry person. Let me just give a little bit to this one. I want you to know that spiritual sanity does not make you sit down on a bench somewhere and say, bring it to me, give it to me. I'm deserving it. I'm worthy of it. But spiritual sanity says, what can I do for God? Where can I help? What can I do to help? Amen. That's the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So we see these things are working in our mind. So the devil works on your mind every way he can to get you to be confused, to cause you to come under condemnation. Sometimes a drive, if we can recognize it, is a drive from God. And we yield wrong, and Satan takes over and takes us the other way. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Want you to note now, talking about the church, spirit-filled. If a spirit-filled man walk in the Spirit of God, he will have the mind of Christ. We're going to say something big here now. I want you to hang it on a peg and remember it. There is really no reason for so many Christians to be wrestling over the will of God. Praise the Lord. And I know this, you're not going to agree with it right at first. Praise the Lord. I got your attention now anyway, haven't I? I've heard people and watched people live for 10, 15, 20 years or more that I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know where God wants me. I would like to ask you one question this morning. Who put that desire in your heart? If you're living for God, doing the best you know how to do, what kind of desire do you have in your heart? And where did it come from? Praise the Lord. I don't know where to go on or not. Some of you look like you're just about scared now. If you're walking with God with spiritual sanity and filled with the Spirit, then what you desire to do inside of you is the will of God. I don't agree with you, preacher. I didn't figure you would. But if you're walking with God, not operating on just the five senses, but you've got the divine revelation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God, then you're operating by grace through faith. And you don't operate on what you see, you operate on what you know. You don't operate on what you hear, taste, smell, or feel, but you operate on what thus saith the Word of the Lord. And therefore, what you desire to do in your heart has been placed there by the Spirit of God into your spirit. And you desire to do something because God placed it there. And he wants you to follow that he put in your heart. You can wrestle against that all your life. But there's something in there. You better start working toward building toward that. to do for God. If it's teaching, then you ought to build a library to teach. If it's preaching, you ought to build a library to preach. If it's being missions, you ought to build a library to missions. Everything you do ought to be centrally located to that desire that you have in your heart. Now, I don't know about other preachers, and I don't know when other preachers call, but from 6 years up, I had a desire to preach. My mother said she knew I was going to be a preacher when I was born. As ugly and all as I was when I was born, and nobody thought I was pretty when I was born, and not many people now, but that doesn't matter about the look so much. Mama said I knew God would give me a preacher boy. But Mama never called me to preach. She never told me that until I was grown and was wrestling with the call to preach, and then she told me that. But I'd get out in the woods playing church or playing house or whatever, and I always wanted to get me an old stump and preach at 6 or 7, 8 years old. And that's what I wanted to do. That was my desire, was to preach. Hallelujah. And when God placed desire in your heart, you need to start working toward it. And don't be many masters and fall into greater condemnation and snare of the devil. But do one thing, single-minded, like God wants you to do, and be good at it. Hallelujah. Be good at it. Dear Lord, I wrestled with everything else and thought to preach, I had to know how to lay bricks and to learn how. I thought I knew how to do electrical work, and I didn't do enough to get by. I thought I knew how to build churches, and all of that's come in handy. But dear God, if somebody would have told me when I started, you're called to preach, prepare to preach, plan to preach, build everything around preaching, and build you a greater ministry, then these things would have took place. Oh, glory to God. Well, I'm having a good time. I'm feeling all of my kin folks here this morning. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the will of God, being spiritually sane. Hallelujah. Some people are not spiritually sane because they're so full of foolishness. You can't hardly talk to them what they make a joke out of it. Huh? I like fun and frolic. And I don't mind you pulling pranks and telling jokes if they're not dirty or filthy. Hallelujah. But I don't like to get on that area. Now, let me go a little bit farther. Praise the Lord. So, spiritual sanity produces different attributes of the mind. Mark tells us in Mark 5 and 15 that after Legion met Jesus and the devils was cast out of him, said he was clothed and in his right mind. Now sin will make you insane. And doctors tell us that a big percentage of sickness is caused by stress and strain. Now where does stress and strain come from? See, if I will listen to Satan, I will lay awake all night and worry about this church. I never lay down but what he points out, all the bad things. He'll try to tell me all of your faults, and he's got a lot of helpers. Huh? But if I do not dwell on the five senses, but go back to the divine revelation of what God has revealed to me, then I know the devil's a liar. I know you. I know what you're made out of. I know we're going to make it. I know God's going to build his church. I know we're going to be successful. I know we're going to prosper. I know we're going to march on. But I have to revert from the five senses back to the divine revelation of knowledge. Hallelujah. As long as I stay with those stinking five senses, I dwell in the human side. Hallelujah. He was in his right mind. Now, nobody's really in the... Please don't get offended at me this morning. I'm just trying to love you. I may love in a different way. But nobody is going to be in the right mind Hallelujah. Man, I like the way you're looking at me this morning. It's the best attention I've had in a long time. I just like to stop and absorb it once in a while. Hallelujah. Brother Minor, if somebody come along and told you something real bad about Sister Minor and you knew it wasn't true, you wouldn't be in your right mind to go tell her if you knew it was going to hurt her for months, would you? Love wouldn't make you do that, would it? You'd just forget it and not even talk to her about it. Hello? I rung somebody's bell. I know. I walked into somebody's living room. Hallelujah. Somebody says, "Now I'm your friend. This is the reason I'm telling you. So-and-so said so-and-so about you, and I think you ought to know because I'm your friend." You're not a friend to tell somebody things that'll hurt them and destroy them. Say, "Well, I think they need to know." Uh-uh. Some things are better off you never know. It's a lot easier to love somebody that you know have never talked about you or told lies on you. Because you get a little discouraged and that old mind plays tricks on you if somebody's told things on you. Amen? You have to work to get rid of these five senses and move back into the divine revelation of God. Hallelujah. So he tells us to have a renewed mind. Ephesians 4:23. Praise the Lord. Says, and be ye renewed in the spirit of your mind. Romans 12:2 tells us that we're restored back to God by the mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, our mind cannot think like the world's mind thinks. We cannot allow our mind to operate like the world's mind operates. We have to have a spiritual injection feeding that mind to keep it operating right. If all you get through the week is that carnal injections, you're going to be thinking just like the world thinks, and you're not going to be operating like God wants you to operate. Amen? I'm trying to dig down where it'll bring forth some fruit. Praise the Lord. Then he said, we need a determined mind. Romans 14:5 said, let every man be fully persuaded in his wife's mind. In her husband's mind. In the preacher's mind. No, whose mind? Your own mind. Honey, I got news for you this morning. If you haven't got a made-up mind and you're not fully persuaded in your own mind that you're going to make it, you won't make it. If every time somebody says something about you, your mind just runs crazy and think, well, just might as well give up. Everybody's talking about me anyway. Think I'll just quit and change churches. Nobody likes doing it anyway. Huh? Nothing's ever going right. Just everything's gone to pot in the whole world. Stinking Republicans are back in and everything's down now. Hello? Brother, I want you to know my mind's not set on what the Republicans or the Democrats does. My mind's not set on the economy of the world. Though I take notice to it, but my mind is set on what thus saith the word of the Lord by divine revelations of the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Your mind's renewed, then you can be determined in your own mind, fully persuaded. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Joshua said in Joshua 24:15, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Have you made up your mind you and your kids are going to serve the Lord? Have you made up your mind your household is going to serve the Lord? Say, preacher, I can't do it. You can do it if you make them up early enough. Can't wait till they get 16, 18 to make up your mind. But if you're fully persuaded from the youth up, from a baby up, and they're fully trained, they'll come back to God even if they stray somewhere down the road. And I don't think they'll stray too far. Amen. Have that confidence, even my own right now that's straying. I still have confidence that God still got him on a leash. That leash is only going to let him go so far. The Holy Spirit's going to draw it back in. Hallelujah. You listen to me? But as for me and my house, Doesn't matter what the government does. Doesn't matter what the king says. For me and my house will serve the Lord. Paul said in Acts 20:24, none of these things move me. It doesn't matter what happens in the economy. It doesn't matter whether I've got two suits or have to just wear one pair of pants and wash it out. It doesn't matter, Paul said, whether I'm exalted or abased. It doesn't matter where I'm in luxury or where I'm down in the valley with the rest of them. He said, none of these things move me. I'm fully persuaded in my own mind whom I believe. And who's got a hold of my life. Amen. Then we see in Paul again in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he said, I am determined to know nothing save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I pray God help me in 1985 to not be so smart with all the other things, but be smarter about Jesus and him crucified. Help me to know more about Jesus and him crucified that I can tell people about that. I'm determined. My mind's made up, he said, that I'm going to know more about Jesus, him crucified, than anything else. Hallelujah. I think it's kind of terrible. I think it's just almost to the ridiculous line. When our own kids can name all the football players and can't name the 12 apostles. Amen. I think it's almost right down to ridiculous when our mind runs to the category that we find rest in hilarious living instead of good old sweet hour of prayer. Hallelujah. See, the humanistic mind, the five senses, says you better get away somewhere and really take it easy. And where we generally get away, we work harder. A lot of times we're not careful and we do where we naturally are. But that divine revelation says, set you an hour of prayer. Be alone with God. Hide the word in your heart. Study the word. Then you have something to build upon. Hallelujah. So we have a determined to know more about Jesus. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 11 and 12 talks about a willing mind. A willing mind. If you're a spiritual sane, you got a willing mind. Hallelujah. Why? Why, preacher, do I have a willing mind? Well, let me read it. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it as there was a readiness to will. So there may be a performance also out of that which you have. I want you to notice what Paul's saying here to the church at Corinth. Now he said, therefore perform the doing of it as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Sometimes I feel kind of like I get like people that, you know, come by and say, now if there's ever anything I can do, let me know. I'll help you. And it's not long till you call and say, could you just come by and take me to town? Well, I'll have to get somebody. I've just got to go over here. I'm busy. And you try about five times and they're always too busy. Then you kind of quit calling them. See, but Paul said, if there's a willing mind, he said, then perform that of which you have. For if it first be a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I'm not responsible to do all the things that Oral Roberts does. I don't have what he has. You're not responsible to do everything I do. I'm not responsible to do everything you do, but we're responsible to do according to what we have to do with. Amen? And if we've got a willing mind, then God requires that, and that's where he's going to bless you. So a spiritual sanity has a willing mind. Lord, what can I do? I want to serve you. I want to bless you. I want to bless people. Then a spiritual mind, Romans 8 and 6, says for to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I hate to say it, but it's the word of God. I didn't write it. There's no way out, my friend. You or me. And I've had to check my oil several times and my spiritual level several times. But when I get down in the dumps and depressed and not at peace, and Sister Patty, when I live day in and day out without peace, I'm not spiritually minded. I just have to face it. And preacher, I don't agree with it. Well, you're disagreeing with the Word of God. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Say, how can you be at peace when you can't meet your obligations? I can't explain it, but I know you can. I've been there. Amen? I've been through it. It's not the easiest way, but somehow through it all, the grace of God was sufficient that Sister Kelly and I kept the peace of God. We kept peace of mind because we knew the divine revelation. God had placed us there. We weren't operating by the five senses. If I had been, I would have thrown in the towel and moved. Got me a job and went to work. And if I did that, I would have been working on a job and just preaching a little bit now and then. Now. Are you listening to me? If we had have not stood that 5 years of testing time, we would have never went any farther. We would have stayed right on that level or below. Up and down. For to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you've got problems in your home all the time, somebody needs to get prayed through. I'm talking about spiritual sanity. If you're always having trouble that you don't know if you're going to make it or not, and you don't know if you're going to come to church or not, and you don't know if you love God or you don't, or you do or you don't, you're like, toad frog in a hailstorm, or a frog in the pond, in and out. You need to go a little deeper. Get your mind made up. I made up my mind and had to. It doesn't matter what they tell on me. What to pull out, what to do. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going through with him. Whether I preach here or somewhere else, I'm going to preach. Made up my mind. My mind is made up. I'm going to preach. I'm going to work for God. I'm going through with him. I have nothing else to look forward to. I don't get any glory and satisfaction out of anything else like I do preaching and serving people. It's hard to understand why in the world you get a week off and you run somewhere and teach a conference. Because I get more satisfaction out of preaching the Word of God and teaching people than anything else. Amen? Let me hurry on. Spiritual mind. But to be carnally minded, verse 6 also says, is death. And death don't mean it comes zap and you die. Death is just gradually, slowly dying. There are some people who have been dying for 40 years. Kind of like one woman reminded him, she kept telling people she's sick. You just don't know how sick I am. Yet she'd go and she'd eat and she'd keep going, but every time they wanted to do, she said, I'm sick, this and that. And finally, 40 years later, she died. And before she died, she wanted to put on her a tombstone. I told you how sick I was, but you wouldn't believe me. But if I walk that way to where I'm at trouble, worried, upset all the time, that's not God's plan. Now we're winding this thing down. Our job is, 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Not God's job, Brother Hall, that's mine. Gird up the loins of my mind. Well, preacher, what in the world is loins? Pork chops? Is that what he's talking about? That's a tenderloin. That's what you make pork chops out of, is it? Tenderloin? Huh? Any butchers in the house? I believe when I used to be a butcher, that's you take the tenderloin of a hog and make pork chops out of it. But he's not talking about pork chops. Gird up the loins of your mind. Hallelujah. Loins is that which is regarded as the seat or the physical strength or the generative power. Oh, glory to God. Lord. How do you do it? By feeding that mind the right kind of vitamins, the right kind of food, the right kind of things. See, it's never been proven what a man's mind can do yet. Never has. Is that right, Brother Bean? Never has been proven what a man's mind can do. That is one of the most, well, I don't know what word to use. It's that mind is something that you really can't conceive. You can't understand how it works, all about it. Just take the brain out of a person, look at it, and think, well, how in the world does it operate? But that's the most precious organ in your body, that mind. It controls you. Because it gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's your secret. There's your revelation knowledge. That the grace of God will be brought to you now, not when you get to heaven, but it's brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When was Jesus Christ revealed to me? When I got into conviction and came to the altar. Amen? When Jesus Christ revealed to me, when I said, yes, Lord, I want to live for you. And he's been being magnified and amplified and glorified in my life ever since. To see the greatness of Jesus Christ. Then to see the Word of God amplified and brought into my mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Hallelujah. So you see then, if you get that little 4-inch size of a man's little finger, right back to the here part of your head, operating like it's supposed to be, thinking like it's supposed to be, then you can operate with victory and walk in victory. Praise the Lord. Now, the greater parts of life are those things that cannot be seen. You know that? Somebody said, I don't believe in God because I can't see him. I never talked to him. I never tasted him. Never smelled him. Never felt him. And we've got a lot of people says, I would believe it if I'd see it. No, that's not what I'm talking about. That's not the Word of God I'm talking about. You can't see love. You can see the results of it. You see it in action. If somebody described love to me. You can't see peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But you don't see the results of it. You can't see conscience, but there's one there. You can't see the mind, but it's there. You can't see the wind, but you see the results of it. You can't see gravitation, but jump out of a tree and I'll guarantee it'll pull you to the ground. Amen? I'll guarantee it's there, but I can't see it. Go out there in space so far, there's no gravitation. You imagine them men sitting out of that shuttle on an arm running out there, traveling, I don't know, I can't keep up with it, so many 100,000 miles an hour out there circling the globe, and right on the end of that working on another satellite, trying to get it together and pull it in there, and them traveling out there. Somebody said, well, you wouldn't feel anything. I said, don't tell me I wouldn't feel anything when I couldn't see anything above me or see anything below me sitting out there in that arm trying to do something. I'd feel something. Amen? But there's no gravity there, just floating in the air. I don't see it, but I see the results of it. Praise the Lord. But the things that are seen are temporal. And we're more concerned when we get the wrong mind about the temporal things. Oh, how bent out of shape we get if we don't have the right dress or right suit to wear. I've known of people just because they couldn't get their hair fixed right, just because it was fuzzy and didn't come down just right and curl just right. Stay home. course, nobody in Grace Cathedral that way. That's in Oklahoma City or somewhere. But that's when your thinking's wrong. Praise the Lord. Or should be the most important part of my life and your life, to get somewhere where somebody is teaching the Word of God, to get the Word of God hidden in your heart. Should be the most reverent hour, most quietest hour of your life, is to get somewhere to hear the Word of God, because it's feeding the inner man, it's feeding the mind. I'm talking about spiritual sanity. See, they call us insane for acting like we act. But if you want to see something, look how foolish the world is. I never have understood, even though I tried it for 3 years. I don't like to even mention it, but they'd go out and I'd try to have a good time with them. Turn up that bottle and say, "Ooh, that's good. Give me some 7-Up. Couldn't stand it. Had to chase it down with something. And holler, "It's good." Get sick and vomit. Heave up their socks and say, "What a good time we had." Huh? I've saw them come just staggering the next morning to work. Said, "Boy, we had a good time last night. Old so-and-so got so drunk, we had to carry him in." I never could see anything good time in that. Huh? To me, that's spiritual and insanity. Hallelujah. They talk about being insane and saying, "Well, that's crazy to come down there at that church and dance and shout in the spirit and talk in tongues and don't know what you're doing." Say, "Neighbor, I know what I'm doing. And I sure don't wake up the next morning with a headache or hangover." Hallelujah. Didn't cost me every dime I had in my pocket to have it either. Amen. I'm talking about spiritual sanity. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. Praise the Lord. It's the greatest thing in the world is to live for Jesus Christ. You're not giving up a thing, but you're gaining everything to live for Jesus Christ. You don't sacrifice anything, but you get more for everything that you turn loose of than you gave. Hallelujah. This is the greatest way to walk there is. In spite of the problems and trials you have, they're not as much as you have if you turn Jesus loose and went back to the world. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for allowing me to preach the Word of God again. Lord, there's people in this building this morning that's not saved. And I know that they're not peaceful. Lord, they're not content. They're searching. They're running to and fro. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to move in their lives this morning and cause them to make a dedication to God. Cause them to turn about face and surrender to God in Jesus' name. I want you, while you're standing, just a moment. I know there's at least 3 people in this building somewhere. I felt while I'm preaching, your life right now is miserable. You're searching for something. You're not finding it. I'm not sure but what you're not in the church. I'm not sure but what you don't come pretty regular here. But you're miserable. You're as miserable as you can be. And God don't want you to live that way. He wants to help you to be settled. He wants to give you peace of mind. He wants to give you joy in your soul. And he wants you to live that way. And I want to know if you'll step out of your aisle and come down this aisle to me and let me pray with you this morning before we leave. Let Jesus change your life. Say, "Brother Callan, I'm one that I got to have help. I want Jesus to help me. I've got to have help. Would you make your way this away, please?" This is where help comes from the Lord. While we wait just a moment, you're not going to find what you're looking for except in Jesus Christ. The world will paint you a picture and say, "Oh, go ahead, do it this way. It feels so good, it can't be wrong," and all this junk. But I want you to know sin will lead you to a devil's hell and rob your soul. I'm just going to wait just a few moments before I dismiss you this morning. All I can do is preach. That's all God's called me to do, is preach and open the altar service. Give you an invitation to come. If you're miserable, don't take it home with you. Don't live that way. Jesus is a peacemaker. Hallelujah. You've got the Spirit. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit, is peace. Hallelujah. While they just sing this chorus, you want to make that step?
If you're unsaved, Jesus will save you. If you're sick, God will help you this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Forgive me of all of my sins.